you ever do dumb things with your friends when you were younger, like ways that you could signal to each other, secret messages almost?
I mean, we were idiots, so we did all sorts of dumb things. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily remember a lot of signaling. We did sneak out of our houses, so there was a lot of pebble throwing at windows and stuff like that, if that counts.
Well, kind of. I had my sorority reunion this past weekend, and one of my oldest friends was just talking to me. We were reminiscing. We were talking about one of the fraternity houses, and she used to date a guy there.
Mm-hmm.
And it took her a while to pick up on it. But whenever she would go in and the guy she was dating would say something, she would notice that the guys would snap their fingers.
Okay, what's that?
And it took a while for her to figure it out, but it's the way that they would lie to each other. They would call out each other lying or let the other one know that they were about to tell a lie and play it off with each other.
Okay.
So this guy that she was dating was also dating another girl, right? So that was like the signal that he was about to tell a lie and that they all had to play along.
Okay.
And that they, and once she figured it out, she didn't say anything for a while and they all did it to each other. It was an entire fraternity thing that they did.
Full of liars.
Full of liars.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, let's not be too judgmental. There was the time you dated two guys with the same name in college.
That has nothing to do with anything. I was very honest with both of them that I was dating the other one. They just never asked. So I had to wait till they specifically asked me. And then
together.
I said yes.
Right.
Then they confronted me.
Right.
It was much different. There's no snapping of the fingers.
You
at
openly
that time.
Admitted it at that time. Though.
Right.
Really?
I wasn't doing anything wrong. I mean, like, I had just gotten out of a serious relationship. I met one guy named Jay. I met another guy named Jay. They both asked me out. I went out with them a few times. A
lot of qualifiers. Okay. Yeah.
But isn't that shady? Like, I was thinking about that. I'm like, how shady that they had a signal. A signal.
For lying.
To let the other ones know they were about to lie and to play along.
Yeah. If you have some sort of, you know, call sign for insulating your lies.
Yes.
Yes. That is bad.
Right.
Now, it's kind of entertaining if you're the other person, because if you didn't actually commit the sin, you feel like that's no big deal for you. Right. And
mm-hmm.
you can really embellish upon the story.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make up almost anything. As long as it fit within it. It's almost like going to improv class.
Oh, that now we're going to give them high fives and kudos. Congratulations, Teak. You guys were really ahead of your time back there. Giant liars.
I'm not
liars.
Saying that they should be the rulers of the world or anything, but a couple of them are probably funny guys.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. So there's this guy, his name is the Mindset Mentor, and I know you're rolling your eyes, but it's one of those self-help podcasts that I listen to.
Oh, that's so great.
But here's the thing. I like what he says because he breaks it down like a human being.
Yeah.
And I was listening to one yesterday, and I thought it was really interesting to share because I'm always the first person to be like, I don't know. I don't have time. Like, when am I going to find a time to do that?
Yeah.
You know?
Can I just ask you a question before you dive headlong into this?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a grown adult.
Yeah.
And you do a pretty good job managing yourself, your life, your family, all that type of stuff. When do you stop listening? When do you stop listening to
like,
advice of a random person? I mean, you chose this person because it got 5-star reviews or something, and you were like, this is the person that's going to change my life?
You know, the truth of it is that a lot of the stuff that he says is stuff you already know, but when you hear it reinforced, it brings it to life. So these are 4 things that you can do to maximize your time and make sure you get everything done.
Mm.
And I thought they were pretty great.
This is my number one technique for making sure that you get stuff done. It is called the Pomodoro technique. You work for 25 minutes straight on one thing and one thing only. And then you take a 5-minute break and you go back 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off, 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off. On those 25 minutes, there is only one thing that you can be doing. You got to stop multitasking. Multitasking actually makes your productivity worse.
Really important, he said, anytime you're working on work stuff, put your phone away, out of sight, out of mind.
This
and
is
I thought.
Be a-
Really interesting.
This is going to be impossible for me. Right. I mean, just one thing, working on one thing for 25 minutes, it does not agree with my ADHD.
Well, 100%. But
right.
That's the whole thing is that, like, think about it. You're working at your computer. You're looking at your phone. You're checking the laundry to see if you have to take the stuff out. Like,
sure.
If you just focus for 25 minutes and then go outside for 5 minutes and get some sunlight, he continues to say, come back in. It's amazing the amount of more work you can get done.
Okay.
Make a to-do list every single morning. Make the to-do list as long as you have to. You take a 3x5 card, an index card, and on that 3x5 card, you put task number 1, task number 2, task number 3. Put it in your back pocket, and that thing comes with you everywhere. Don't focus on all of the things that you need to do. Focus on the 3 things that move the needle today.
I thought that was great. I mean, I don't have an index card. But I do have a scrap of paper that I can, like, kind of rip up to it looks like an index card and put it in my pocket.
I mean, he contradicts himself in that one statement.
What
He's
do you
like,
mean?
Make the list as long as you need to, but focus on your top three.
Because when you get through the top three, you move on to the other ones. So you get the most important ones done.
Yes, I understand how an order of succession works.
This is why you'll never succeed, Raven.
Is to find your peak hours. Every person that I know has different peak hours. Peak hours are the hours where you feel you're in it. Your brain is on. You're locked in. It's easier for you to work. It's easier for you to get stuff done.
I 100% agree with that. My peak hours are morning time and early afternoon. And then after that, I mean, like, useless.
Me too. I always think, like, between, I'd say, 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. is when my brain is good. But sometimes I'll take, like, a meeting at night, 6, 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, my gosh.
And I look back the next day, and I'm like, these people must think I'm an idiot.
Yeah, what
like,
was I even talking to them about?
Right.
Yeah, no, it's tough.
Here's the last thing you can do to help make that time.
If you do something multiple times throughout the week, is it possible for, instead of using, like, an hour here, an hour on Monday, an hour on Wednesday, an hour on Friday, instead, can you just get 3 hours of productivity done?
I keep going back to laundry, which is not the best example.
Yeah.
But instead of, like, doing a little bit of laundry every day where it's breaking up your day.
Sure.
Sundays you do laundry. That's it. Sundays for 3 hours, you do laundry, you bang it out, and you move on with your life.
You subscribe to this guy. You've been listening to him every morning. The thing that you took away is you're going to change your laundry plan.
That and a few other things,
okay.
Yes. All right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Sometimes people just do things or say things or post things that just drive you crazy. This is your chance to get it off your chest. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999.
If you pay the meter at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, that's all I need to know about you. I was out the other day and met up with my parents out there, and they were having trouble dealing with the new parking meters, of course, right? Where you go over here, you got to put in your license plate number, you know, is this place assigned or that place assigned or whatever. And then I told them, I was like, guys, it's 6 o'clock. You don't really have to pay anymore after that. And they just continued to put money in anyways because they were like, well, we just want to be sure.
Oh, well. It depends. Well, the sign say not after 6? Because some places charge you all the time.
I mean, the truth is it was right on the meter if they had looked close enough.
Right.
It was on the meter itself right there, right? And then there's confusion as to what day of the week it is that you're doing it or whatever. And it's like, guys, it's a Tuesday. Do you see anybody else putting quarters into this thing?
Well, lately I've been burned so often. I got two parking tickets in one day a few weeks ago.
But explain your policy so people understand that you're just not recklessly being targeted.
First time, I blatantly did not pay the parking fee. I didn't do it. And I said, if they catch me, I'll pay it. They caught me. I immediately paid it online. 1, 2, 3. Later that day, I used the app to pay for another park place. And I paid because I was like, no, I'm not getting hit twice today because it was right down the street from the other one.
Okay.
And I paid for the wrong car. You know, so some apps, if you have it, you like choose which car. And I have my husband's car and my car.
Yeah.
I paid for the wrong car. So I try to file a complaint and to show that I paid. And it was so much work and phone calls.
Then
and
you after, gave up.
I gave up and I just paid the $20. That's all I need to know about me.
Like, yeah.
Like, jerk, right?
Well, I mean, you keep getting stuck. I mean, if your policy is to, I'm going to roll those dice. And if they catch me, they catch me. Then,
also,
you know,
all I need to know about you, right?
Sooner or later, right. Those are going to stack up on you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Listen, if you're one of those people that puts your seat back, leans back on the plane, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, this is a tough one. We've debated it before. Go ahead, Raven.
I'm just going to say, I mean, they gave us the freedom to roll it back. Frankly, those seats should lean back more. If my seat leans back and your seat leans back, guess what? We're now the equal distance from each other once again.
But I don't know why the etiquette is not to. The etiquette is to keep it straight back. And for some reason, even though it only goes back 2 inches, that 2 inches feels so good.
It feels like it's right in here. Right.
Right?
It feels so good if you're in the seat. But if you're behind it,
it's like all of a sudden they've like ejected into your face.
They're in your face, right? So if somebody leans back in front of me, my first reaction is I want to murder them.
Right.
All right? My second thought is no. You're going to do the same thing to somebody else, be the bigger person, but I immediately have to move my chair back at that point.
I'm going to, we're going to be traveling soon. When I get on that plane, I am going to take a note how many people are reclined and how many are not. I'm going to walk up and down the aisle and I'll report back when we get back from vacation.
I can't wait to hear it.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
All this week, it's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Ryan Brecklin from NestEggAuction.com. He's an auctioneer and appraiser. He's with us. Last week, we asked you to submit the items you found around your house, and you sure did. I think I have 1,000 emails right now.
Yeah, sure. But we're looking at some of the best stuff, and we've had some miss the mark, too.
Right. So Michelle sent me a picture of a Pearl Harbor newspaper that she had. Ryan, what's the deal with newspapers?
So newspapers, let me ask you this. If you're in the newspaper business, what's your job?
To print newspapers.
And sell them, right?
Right.
Sell newspapers.
Yes.
As many as you can. So even when something important happens, they sell a lot of newspapers. In fact, when a really big event happens, a newspaper will do a second and third printing. So, for instance, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, the first paper where they announced the news is much more valuable than the second and third printings of that newspaper.
Hmm.
This newspaper here is from Oahu, Hawaii, and it's the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So the first and second printings of this, they made a lot, and magically a lot of people saved them. In fact, I do estates to this day, and let's say I do 100 estates, 50 to 60 of those estates are going to have a copy of the Kennedy assassination newspaper in a suitcase in the closet.
Wow.
Man Walks on the Moon, Time Magazine, got saved when Man Walked on the Moon.
I have so many Time and Life magazines. Not the dude on the moon, but I have a ton of those that were left in my house before.
So you see them well-preserved. You know, historical newspapers you see well-preserved. This one here is mildly collectible. People frame it. People use it. But a Pearl Harbor bombing, this edition from Oahu, retails about $20.
Oh, well, okay, that's not such great news for Michelle. Maybe make a note so I can text her. That's an email. $20.
Let her down gently.
I can let her down gently in the email. But so I've been looking for this. It's like I like to collect radio stuff. And I've been looking for a cover of a newspaper from the New York area of War of the Worlds, which happened in 1938, right? You know, the reporting on it. I can't find, for years, I haven't been able to find it.
You should probably dig in with a professional ephemera dealer. They're going to be able to find it for you.
Okay. All right.
An ephemera dealer. What?
Can you get it for me for $20? And what is that word you said, ephemera?
Right. What was
ephemera.
That?
Ephemera is something that's temporary. It's something that only comes or that is easily destroyed. So a newspaper is thin paper.
Mm-hmm.
A postcard is small and got beat up in the mail. A brochure advertising something like a flyer. Think about rock concert posters were printed on cheap cardboard, right?
Yeah.
So they're ephemeral. They're temporary and they have to get preserved in order to be worth anything.
Man, I mean, we use a lot of vocabulary here. I never heard that word before. I thought it was never. Like a scarf on a giraffe.
Right.
Yeah. I immediately thought it was like some sort of sexy nightclub-like thing that I would wear with a fedora. Wow.
Yep. All this week, it's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Last week, we asked you to submit pictures of things around your home that you didn't know the value of. You sent us tons of them with descriptions, any information you had, markings. And now, Ryan's going to tell you if you have a home run or not. Ryan Brecklin is from NestEggAuction.com. He's an auctioneer and appraiser. So this painting comes from Joanne. Ryan, what do you think about that? We've talked about paintings a little bit this week and how a lot of them are not worth anything for the most part, but this is different?
Well, this is definitely an interesting painting. It is signed E. Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the intent here was that this was Edward Cortez, who was a French impressionist, born in 1882, painted to 1969. And to give you a visual on this, think a Paris street with horse-drawn carriages right after the rain. And the lamps are being lit, and it's sunset in the background, and it's romantic, and it's beautiful, and it's just a little out of focus, so it's soft.
Mm.
Okay.
This is an incredibly popular artist. Medium-sized works probably bring in the $70,000, $80,000, upwards to $100,000 per painting.
Wow.
Wow.
So what about hers?
Right.
Right.
And he loves to build us up.
Right.
Yeah,
right? He loves to tell if you have the unicorn.
So this particular one is smaller. It's in a beautiful frame, and it's absolutely in the style of the artist. But when you get into the details, some things about it just don't quite look right to me.
Mm.
Joanne sent a picture of the label. It says, School of. which also kind of stands for the style of the artist.
Ah.
It usually means you can't prove that the artist did this painting. And if you compare apples to apples, Joanne's piece to one of the pieces that brought, you know, a five-figure price, it's just not the same quality. It's just not the same artistry.
So it's a fake.
You know, I don't like that word because what if he was having a bad day when he painted this?
It's true. He could be hungover. We don't know.
There are some artists that painted better drunk than sober.
Right, right. Yeah. More freeing there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it could have been the person that was working right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
That was a friend or an apprentice or something like that.
Think about the drugs that they were doing in France when they were starting the modernism and the impressionism movements.
I mean, a man did cut off his ear.
True.
Absinthe. He was drinking absinthe.
Right.
All right. Well, sad news for
Joanne. You can get it in New
Joanne.
Orleans if you're looking for it still.
This is still a nice painting. And it's still worth something. It has decorative value. So if someone likes this style, someone likes the frame, she can probably expect to see between $100 and $300.
All right, we're going to have more with Ryan Breckland from Nest Egg Auction all this week. I have a confession.
Are you serious?
I couldn't do it.
It was your idea. You're serious right now.
I couldn't do it.
Like, I have people to interact with today and things that I have to do, and I did it, and this was your idea. I cannot even believe it.
What? I went to the gym. Yeah. I went to the gym.
Yeah, these guys work together in a room.
No, I think I have a problem. So here's what happened. All right, yesterday, if you missed it around this time, we were talking about how they keep saying deodorant and antiperspirant. It's really bad for you, and that's why you see all these new natural kind of deodorants coming out. Justin Bieber has a line.
But, I don't know.
So we said, you know, most people don't need deodorant all the time. I put on deodorant every morning and every night. Last night, I took a shower, and I said, okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put the deodorant on. And then, I don't know. I started getting panic attacks.
Seriously?
I couldn't breathe.
So it's not your fault is what you're saying. It's a compulsion. We should feel bad for you is what we should be doing in this scenario.
So
that's
now
what
we're going to see if the other guys smell.
Just the fact that you put it on at night before you go to bed was weird to me anyways. But the fact that you created this entire scenario.
Well, I Googled
and now
it if you could be addicted to it. And they did say that your body can go through like a withdrawal. And I was like,
come
I'm not
on.
Ready for that.
Addicted to deodorant.
Come on.
She Googled that. That's
She's
the thing. And there's enough people out there in the world that they created like a support group for this and some sort of, you know, logic that they put together
there's
online.
There's a Reddit thread. There's a whole Reddit
thread. This is crazy.
All right, Raven, how do you feel after 24 hours of not wearing deodorant?
I feel fantastic, actually. I had a nice shower and I feel great. The shower was last night. So, I mean, this is as real as it gets right here.
Okay, and producer John?
Shower was yesterday afternoon for me. I went to the gym and, yeah, I think I'm doing good.
Sean?
Feeling great. Showered last night. No deodorant. No.
Nobody had panic attacks? Not one of you?
No.
No. Not. Was the panic attack simply driven by the fact that you weren't going to wear deodorant?
Yeah.
Seems like a silly thing.
I don't know.
seems like a silly thing to, you know, lose the ability to function or breathe or any of those things. Panic attacks are serious.
All right. Everybody put your arms up. I'm going to come around and smell you.
All right. I'm smelling me right now before you get here.
Sean smells like dryer sheets.
Oh, well, that's...
I can't get really into it.
Congratulations.
Lift up through the shirt.
Yeah, lift up your shirt. Like right.
He loves to take his
it's
shirt off.
It's a weird HR issue. Do you shave your armpits?
I do.
Wait a minute. What?
Yep. Hold on.
I shave my armpits.
Are you a swimmer?
Not your chest, and that's my favorite part.
Wait. Time out.
Wait a minute.
Sean shaves his armpits.
Yep.
Wait a minute. So what is the reasoning? While you continue on smelling other people's armpits, I'll continue with this. What is the reasoning behind shaving your armpits, Sean? How did that begin?
You know what it is? Back in high school.
Oh, you smell. John smells.
Okay. Well, I mean, he did work out, so I had a feeling that something might be left over in there. I had a feeling.
Back in high school, I ran track, and we used to make fun of the swim team.
Jesus, you put your nose right in my face.
No, she really gets
in
there.
That was really aggressive.
It's uncomfortable.
All right. What?
All right.
Wait a minute. So,
John smells the worst.
Uh-huh.
Sean is okay, but I'm shocked by the shaves his armpits.
Yeah.
And Raven, I don't know, you smell mildly funky.
Mildly funky.
Yeah.
That could be in the shirt.
You went through two layers of clothing with Raven. He's got an undershirt and a flannel on.
I'm not wearing an undershirt.
You're wearing just the flannel with no undershirt?
All right,
first off, it's not a flannel.
Unbutton your shirt. Come on, hurry up. We don't have a lot of time here.
This gets weird.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a flannel.
It's a button up.
Raven definitely does not shave his pits.
Yeah, 100%.
Raven is definitely 100%. Taking his shirt off right now.
All right, that's good. Just move
on. Okay.
No, John, you're still the worst.
We have to come back and find out why Sean shaves his armpits.
Yeah, that's next. Seems all this week it's just bad, terrible news about shootings all across the country.
Yeah, and one of the most human reactions I think that I think of when I see this is, what if this happened to me? What if this happened to my family, my sister, my mother, my wife? What would they do? What could they do?
You don't know what to do when you're in a situation like this, or if you're ever in a situation like this, what your reaction will be. Detective Vinny LaRecchia. Detective, what should we be doing in this situation?
There's a national standard out there. It's published by pretty much every alphabet organization out there, from FBI to DOJ to the Department of Education. And the standard is run, hide, fight. The first suggestion is to run. Get away. Don't worry about leaving anything behind. It's sort of like a fire. Just get out. Hide if you can't run. Hiding isn't just getting underneath your desk or sitting in the corner of the room. You see a lot of videos of people literally just cowering down, head in their hands, like almost hiding in the middle of nowhere. Hiding would be barricade yourself in a room. Take everything in that room and put it in front of that door. Try to protect your space as best as you can. Fight is your last resort. We're not telling anybody to go, oh, there's an active shooter, grab a pencil and go fight him. What we're saying is, if you can't run and you can't hide, fight. And I mean, fight like your only other option is death. And it's scary. My mom probably doesn't want to even think about that. She's a 72-year-old woman. But I've trained my children since they were probably 5 years old to my mom, who's 72, to fight like your life depends on it, because it does.
You know, we're seeing more nowadays these incidents taking place. I mean, nobody ever expects these incidents to take place, right? But we're seeing them in more horrific places time and time again. If it's not a school, if it's a mall or a grocery store now, areas that we always assume that we were safe. For situational awareness, what can we just tell the untrained eye? When you're entering a place, what are the type of things that we should just keep our eyes open for?
So I would say mental preparation of when you enter a new environment. I'm exhausted. My brain is never stopping. Everywhere I go, I'm looking at what if. I'm not saying people need to live like me, because I'm probably the far end of the spectrum on
it. Yeah.
But you should be aware of your surroundings. Understand where your exits are. Understand if things don't look right. Just mentally prepare for, hey, listen, if this were to happen while I'm here, I'll do this. If someone were to walk into this space with a gun and start shooting, I would do this.
You've taught your 5-year-old and you've taught your 72-year-old mother. I mean, I'm curious about both, but let's start with the 5-year-old. How do you teach them to fight? What do you tell them to do, like from a parent's point of view?
I don't think our everyday citizens need to play the hero and try to go stop the killer. But when the killer is in your face, you might as well fight to slow them down, to defeat them, buy time. You don't know, though, what the outcome would be. Did you slow the person down enough to now the police finally have gotten there? Because we're not going to be there in time. When it happens, you're there. I'm not. Someone has to call me, tell the dispatcher to send me there. Dispatcher then has to tell them to go. There's a horrible time gap before the cops are there. So this misconception that the police will be there to save me is wrong. The police want to be there to save you. Drive like crazy to get there to save you. There is a huge time gap between your time and my time.
Run, hide, fight. That's great advice. Detective Vinny LaRecchia, thank you so much. How do we fight? Travis and Connie from Armored Self-Defense coming up. You're in an active shooter situation. What do you do? A detective told us 3 main things. You run, you hide, and then you fight. Travis Cook and Connie Chester are from Armored Self-Defense. You guys teach the fight.
Correct. The main component that we teach as far as for the pure self-defense is what's called Krav Maga.
Yeah, that's the jam.
So I would love to talk about the fighting aspect.
Yeah, like, you know, for the everyday person, guys, who's not like in a gym training all the time or whatever, you know, how can they be effective too?
Well, standard across the industry is going to be that run, hide, fight option. Starting with run, getting out if you can, hiding if necessary, getting out after that if you need to. Fighting is always, always, always the last ditch option, and that's in any self-defense altercation. The idea is basically a gang up type situation. You try to get more than one person. You try to hide your position to where as they come into the area that you're in, you can kind of take them by surprise, One grabs the gun, the other grabs the lower body, and you take them to the ground and wrestle the gun away from them. It's not a clean situation. It's not a lack of danger situation. I mean, you're putting yourself in danger, but at that point, it's better than just being fish in a barrel and waiting for it to happen. You're at least taking action in that moment to try to prevent bodily harm for yourself and those that are in the area.
You know, you bring up a really good point, Travis. Having a plan and being able to communicate quickly, because I mean, sometimes, like these poor people, they're in a church or they're in a grocery store or they're wherever they are, and like there's no plan. But even in your workplace, like I think about it, the way me and Raven sit, my back is always to the door. We don't have a plan if somebody is coming to the door, except for Raven can hide and I just sacrifice myself like this.
No, it's the whole bear mentality is that I don't actually have to be faster than the bear. I just have to be faster than Anna. No, but, you know, in all seriousness, Connie, you know, I'd be interested to hear your perspective. So let's say you're a mom, you're at the mall, you know, you've got your child with you or whatever, and then you find yourself cowering under a clothing rack, and here come feet. Like, what can you do? What is going through your mind at that time, or what should be?
I think what you need to have is a plan. The moment that that happens, you need to start formulating. And we have things that we teach that are the mental side of self-defense. Travis talks about this all the time in class. It's that pre-thought process, almost akin to a fire extinguisher in your house. We don't want a fire. The idea of having something there, should something happen, having a plan, or the way that we talk about it in our classes is having tools in your toolbox. If you have not thought through things, and that's not to be paranoid, but to be prepared. So it's just that pre-thought. The second you see the danger, okay, let's use that as an identifier. Let's start planning now. Have the kids know that when mommy says something, or daddy, or whoever you're with, whatever the guardian is in that situation, when I say this, I mean now.
I really like the idea of having not only a keyword with your kids, like that when mommy says this, you have to listen and do it. It's an emergency situation, but having an emergency keyword in the workplace, like there should be something you say to me, Raven, if there's somebody standing behind me at the door and it's not just get her first, like it should not be that. You know?
Yeah, no, but I love that idea amongst partners too. Like, I mean, sometimes with, you know, even with your partner, it's going to take a moment,
right?
You know, for somebody to realize that something very serious is happening. So good thinking. I mean, that's good preparedness.
You know, it's funny, when I went to dog training, oddly enough, when we were training my dog, we have an emergency word for the dog. So the dog was trained with this one word that when you said that word, that dog knows to retreat back to you as quickly as possible. Why wouldn't you have that with your family? A way to communicate when there's imminent danger there.
And that's where the training comes in. You know, much like a militaristic type of situation, if you get caught in a position where you're getting to that emotional side of your thinking and freaking out, you have to tell yourself, remember your training. What do I need to do? You need to get back into that logical mindset.
Travis and Connie, thank you guys. ArmoredSelfDefense.com for more information. Thank you.
We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
All this week, it's Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Last week, you submitted all the items you found around your house that you didn't know what it was worth. You sent me pictures, you flooded my inbox, and now Ryan Brecklin from NestEggAuction.com, he's an auctioneer and appraiser, is telling you some of the most interesting pieces and how much money you can get for them.
It's been fascinating, really. Every day, kind of an adventure, and we learn a little bit of something, too.
Yeah, so this one, Ryan, comes from Monica, and I'm going to say this word wrong. It looks like China, Limoges plates? Limoges plates.
I mean, of course.
China. Well, I'm interested in China because I still have all my wedding china in boxes because I don't understand why my mom made me get it. So it's just sitting in boxes, like, in my basement. But because I can't use it. It's like the fancy china that you can't use.
Why can't you use it?
Because I don't want to ruin it. They were like $100 a setting, $125 a setting. So now I just have 12 of them in boxes.
So, yeah, it definitely makes sense to put it away and never think about it ever again.
Well, I like to think that one day my daughters will take it and then, like, they'll make a lot of money from it, or they'll put it out for Christmas or something like that.
I'll tell you what your daughters are going to do. They're going to wait till you die,
right,
and then they're going to call an auctioneer like me, and the auctioneer's going to go, why didn't you guys use this? It's beautiful. It's not worth anything, though.
Oh. Is that true?
What's
Vera Wang.
Oh, Vera Wang. No, come on. That stuff's valuable.
Well, I have to wait in case the president comes over for dinner. Then I'll take it out. So what does Monica have here?
Monica has Limoges floral pattern, porcelain china. It looks like a bowl and possibly a tea or a coffee pot with beautiful gilt handles, gilt finial, and they're wonderful, but they fall into the same categories like you said. They're almost too pretty to use. And they're fragile, and you're afraid of damaging it, right? Yeah. Your everyday china, you nick a plate, you're like, yeah, whatever, I'll chuck it and, you know, get another one.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There are some collectors for this. One of the pieces she has is a J.P. Limoges, and some people just find them to be beautiful and collect them. And you can see teapots and coffee pots in the $1 to $200 range. Plates and bowls, sometimes $20 to $50 range. But probably the most fascinating thing about the china market is what's controlled and run really by replacements.com. And the whole business revolves around two holidays, and that's Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right.
Right.
So if you're getting ready to have people come over at Thanksgiving, you realize I got a chipped plate, you go to replacements.com or eBay or one of those places, and you order a replacement.
Mm.
So that's when all the sales happen. They all happen in like October and December. Now, if you're done with Christmas and Uncle Joe, you know, broke a coffee cup, you got to go and buy another one. So it's great to have that service, but nowhere is there more demand for the china than there is supply.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just lots and lots of pieces out there for sale, and it pushes the prices down.
So yeah. Use your china.
Use your china. Use your silver. Drink your wine, because tomorrow may not come. Enjoy the beautiful and wonderful things you have.
Do you want to buy a 12-piece set of Vera Wang china? I'll give you a good deal on it right now.
How about you just send him the photo for free?
Sold.
We're going to have more with Ryan Breckland from NestEggAuction.com all this week. Why is it trending? Top three things trending and why. Up first, UFOs. So, Raven, Congress held its first hearing on UFOs in decades.
I know, it was awesome.
The Pentagon released declassified UFO footage, and here's what it sounded like.
U.S. Navy personnel recorded what appears to be triangles, some flashing, recorded several years ago, off the coast of the United States.
Because UAPs pose potential flight safety and general security risk, we are committed to a focused effort to determine their origins.
144 unidentified flying objects that they admit that they don't know what they are.
I mean, that's just the ones that they admit to, right? Mm-hmm. And the other ones, there's plenty of others out there that people wouldn't believe their reasonings, right? You know, conspiracy theorists or whatever, but I mean, that's pretty wild, right? That's a lot of instances when you think about it.
A lot of them are near military bases, so there's a lot of question about, is this Russia? Is this China? Is this, you know, other countries that are trying to spy on us and kind of pretending to be UFOs? I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
You watch those videos, and I don't see how it could be. I mean, they in some of those videos, there are objects moving in ways that nothing on this planet is able to move.
It's very strange.
Pretty wild.
It is.
I don't know what it is.
It's scary. I don't like
kinda,
to think about it. Yeah.
I guess.
Also trending, She-Hulk. The trailer for the new show, She-Hulk Attorney at Law on Disney Plus dropped.
I'm Jennifer Walters. I'm a lawyer. I have great friends, a demanding job.
We just started a superhuman law division, and I want you to be the face of it.
And a frustrating family.
Didn't ask for this, but you still got to deal with it. Your transformations are triggered by anger and fear.
Those are like the baseline of any woman just existing.
She's so likable, and I can't wait to watch this. This is like your best friend, except she's She-Hulk, and she turns into this giant green monster.
Wait a minute. So, but people are aware that she's the Hulk, and it's cool she still gets to hold down a job and stuff like that?
Because
that doesn't make much sense to me.
No, she's an attorney, and she's taking this over. And from what I understand from the trailer, this doesn't come out until August, is that people don't know what she is. She's kind of like hiding it. But then, later on in the trailer, it shows her with her friends being She-Hulk.
Yeah, lovely green tone.
Yeah, and wearing heels.
Right?
I was like, wow.
Wait a minute. How can you be both?
Right.
I'm very confused about this. This makes no sense to me.
I'm not really into all that stuff, but I'll tell you, I was like, sign me up for this. I'm definitely going to be watching. There's something very likable about her. The actress that plays her is Tatiana Maslany. Maslany, am I saying that correctly?
Well, learn her name.
Yeah.
And then watch the show.
I will.
And hopefully it's good.
Also trending, what's been trending for like a month now, Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard.
Oh my gosh.
But yesterday was crazy because Amber Heard was grilled about a late night visit from James Franco one night.
What?
Listen to this.
You changed the locks to the penthouses on May 22nd, 2016.
I attempted to.
That's why you felt comfortable having James Franco over the evening of May 22nd, 2016, Ms. Heard?
I do not know when James came over.
Okay, let's remind you. That's you and Mr. Franco on May 22nd, 2016, right, Ms. Heard?
That's correct.
Then she showed a video of Amber Heard with James Franco in an elevator trying to hide their faces and definitely cuddling in a corner. It was wild.
I mean, how smart are you guys? All right, you know that there's a camera in the elevator. You're definitely hiding your faces. Just take the stairs.
It doesn't make sense.
Seriously.
And they're canoodling. They're canoodling.
Like I didn't watch the video, so I mean, I'm getting that information from you. But I mean, you change the locks, and that night he's got to come over.
Raven, when I say
just
the word
a week, man.
Canoodle. When I say canoodle, what do you think?
There's like you're hugging, cuddling, and there's a little smooching, maybe.
There's no smooching.
Yeah.
But there's definitely canoodling.
There's nuzzling.
Yeah, there's nuzzling.
Nuzzling and canoodling
uh-huh.
here.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Nuzzle-oodling.
Yep.
And
all
it's
of it.
All dirty.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Noah and Ava. I don't know who to start with today. I guess, Ava, what's going on?
Okay, so my husband, we just inherited this property from his family. It's a pretty large amount of land, but the neighbors, their pool, we just discovered, like, the actual line where it cuts off is over in our yard. And I think that we should have access to the pool because, you know, we have a couple of small kids. You know, they would really enjoy the pool playing in the summer. I think that we should have access to the pool instead of, you know, having a beef with the neighbors. Let's just have access to the pool. But my husband doesn't agree.
So, Noah, you inherited this house from your father, and somehow the neighbors next door built the pool half on the property that is now yours?
Yeah, apparently. Honestly, I think it's not really that big of a deal, and I don't think that we should encroach on our neighbor, whom I don't know, but has always had a great relationship with my father. You know, it's been there. My dad had this property for years. You know, I just think it's a little bit unneighborly and obnoxious. Yes, it's on our property, but it's that we didn't know. They didn't know. I'm sure they didn't do it on purpose.
I don't know because I don't have neighbors that have pools and I'm not really that close with any of my neighbors.
Sure.
But I would think that if you just say, hey, would it be okay if the kids came swimming? You don't have to be like, your pool's on my land, so you're either going to pay me or my kids have to go swimming in your pool. Right?
No.
Right?
I mean, I own a pool. There's no open gate policy to other people to come swim in your pool. There's a million reasons why that could go bad. If it's your neighbor's pool, your kids come over and God forbid something happens in that pool, your neighbor becomes liable. That alone would say no way, no how. On the other hand, you have legal recourse. I mean, who builds a pool on their neighbor's property? So if these are the original property lines and they've been there, obviously this pool had to be in the ground for a very long time because there's no contractor that would responsibly take that contract without using a survey and doing it illegally. And once that pool is on your property, you are entitled to compensation for that or they'd have to rip it out. I mean, neighbors have to rip up fences all the time when they put them in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So, and it's their expense. It's not your expense. And then they would have to return the land to the original condition. Approaching them and saying, hey, I don't know how this happened, but, you know, I'd like to do a nice handshake deal between the two of us where we settle this thing. Isn't maybe the worst idea? And if you sign something versus liability for them with your kids, you know, maybe that would be all right. I don't know.
I personally think it's a great compromise. I mean, either we can sue them or our kids can come swim. Now, which one do they want?
Just for clarity's sake, Noah, your father is passed, so your father doesn't have any input on this. I'm sorry, your father is gone?
My father is gone. I feel like it's not even worth the expense. I mean, the insurance is, you know, a whole other topic.
Well, you won't have to pay. You won't have to pay insurance. They're already paying for that.
But if the pool is on our land, I would think we would be liable if something were to go wrong in that pool.
Yeah, I mean, either way, there's supposed to be a fence around that pool anyways.
I guess what the question is now what do you do? Because they may see Ava's side. Just go there and say, hey, just so you know, that pool is legally on our property. We're not going to make a big deal, but we would like to have rights to bring the kids over to go swimming whenever we'd like, create an access way. But they may see Noah's side, too, that is a ridiculous ask. No, absolutely not. If you want to seek legal recourse, that's a different story. But, you know, offering this compromise is a bad idea.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I don't know.
It's interesting, right? I mean, even here, getting professional advice, I feel like I'm not sure.
So Noah and Ava, they inherited Noah's father's property, and they realize that the neighbor's pool encroaches on their property. So Ava's like, well, who cares? Let's just go there and let's tell them that as long as the kids could use the pool, then we're not going to make a big deal out of it. But no one's like, what are you talking about? We're just going to go there. We're going to say, like, our kids are going to come over and use your pool because it's on our property.
Sometimes you have a situation that lands in your lap, right? That you didn't plan, you didn't ever think was going to be a problem, and it never bothered anybody before. But now, you know, again, you've inherited this property and you have to consider, what is my liability in this? What is my access to this? How much is it really bothering me? Is it screwing up my property? You know, all those questions, you know, they probably need to be answered. You don't want to just ignore the situation.
Right. And he says just having the kids go over is certainly not the right answer.
It's obnoxious,
but
he thinks.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples court?
I believe I'm on hers or his, because the pool is half on their property. Who's paying the taxes?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples court. Noah and Ava inherited Noah's father's house. And now that they finally moved in, they've realized when they went to go pull the plot lines and everything that the neighbors have their pool on their property a little bit. It's this big property and just on the border. But Ava says, well, like, let's just go to them, let them know and say, hey, no big deal, but can the kids come over and swim? Noah doesn't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, things like this are complicated, right? I mean, that's why they say things like, you know, good fences build great neighbors, so that you never have any conflict like this or confusion like this. I mean, who knows what the arrangement was that they made with his father? But now it can be an issue. Certainly when you're going ahead trying to figure out, you know, well, who's liable for this? Who pays for this? If it's here, can't I swim in it? I have to stare at it. Why wouldn't I jump in it?
Yeah, but Noah thinks that's ridiculous. We can't just say we're coming swimming in your pool because it's on our property. But what would you do in this situation? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples court.
I'm on the man's side. When it comes to property lines and pools, it's pre-existing, which means that there's a grandfathered easement, and they have no, they will not make them move the pool, and they have no right to access the pool.
Ah.
Yeah, I just, I'm not sure if I buy all of that. I'm not sure if whether or not they had an easement or it was...
It's actually true. I work for a law firm.
Yeah. Okay.
We took over the property with it like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that. I mean, if something's still built illegal, it's built illegal.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Well, the first thing is I'm in real estate. They have to get this settled, because if they ever try to sell that property, there's going to be an issue. So there's something called adverse possession, which means somebody else is using your property. So they should get an agreement signed between the people, whether they use the pool or not. They have to let the people know that that's their property, and they're not giving it. They'll let them use it, but it still belongs to that piece of property that the father owns.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of on both of their sides. Like, I think that that pool should be removed just entirely because of the fact that, you know, it's obviously encroaching on their property. And realistically, they wouldn't have to pay to get it removed. They would just have to call the town. And
no, it's an in-ground pool.
In the event she does.
It's an in-ground pool.
Oh, it's an in-ground pool.
Yeah, no, they don't just remove in-ground pools. Yeah, and the town isn't going to pay
for it. For some reason, it was an above-ground pool.
No.
Even if she says that creepy request to use the neighbor's pool, I think she's forgetting that then she's going to have to start splitting the cost of the upkeep of the pool if she's going to be using it with her kids. It's an expensive thing, you know, to operate a pool. And, like, if the lining breaks or anything like that because her kids were in it, they're going to have to be able to pay for that. So I think she's forgetting that aspect of it as well.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Noah, our audience agreed with you. Saying we would like access to the pool so we can go swimming doesn't seem like the right thing to do. You have legal issues here. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. And ultimately, you need to resolve those first. Or just let it go. You said the property is big. So what? The pool encroaches. Big deal. Be a good neighbor.
I don't want to create a situation where it's like a community pool. You know, I just got this property. We can take our kids to a community pool. We don't have to have one in our backyard. And I think that's just my side of things.
I mean, if you're going to talk to an attorney at all, though, it might be best to have the conversation before they just send him some letter. Because your liability issues that you raised before are possible. I don't know. You going to be all right with this, Ava?
No, I'm not. I want my kids to swim. So I guess we're just going to have to go through legal channels, put the line where it's supposed to be, put the pool. They're going to have to start over, rip their pool out, and rebuild their pool, and then we can start our own pool.
Yeah. No, I think this is better solved at lunch. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Well,
good luck with that.
Best of luck. If you have a problem too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven jackpot is $7,600 thanks to Discover Card. With prices soaring at the pump, Discover has your back with cash back. Use Discover to earn 5% cash back at the gas station and Target now through June on up to $1,500 in purchases when you activate. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/rewards. All right, Jenna, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Sure. Can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jenna.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, so Raven's walking out of here. When that big door closes, he can't hear us. This studio is soundproof. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back and I ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
$7,600. Let's do this. Number one. Victoria Beckham says she believes that being thin is out of fashion, and now women want to own their curves. What was her nickname in the Spice Girls?
Posh.
Number two, there's backlash because Kim Kardashian is one of the four women on the cover of what annual swimsuit magazine?
Oh, crap.
Guess, please guess. That's time.
Rolling Stone.
Okay. Number three, Judge Apatow released a documentary he made about the life of comedian George Carlin. In what beloved children's TV series about a train did George Carlin replace Ringo Starr as the narrator?
Thomas and Friends.
Number four, Valerie Bertinelli just announced her split from her husband Thomas Vitale. What sitcom launched her career as a child actress where she played Barbara Cooper?
My Wife and Kids. I don't know. That one's wrong.
And number five, Disney Plus says they won't take political or alcohol ads to keep the service family friendly. Also, no ads on any toddler shows. Speaking of toddler shows on Disney Plus, which one features Gecko, Catboy, and Owlette?
PJ Masks.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
I can't believe you didn't get number two, Jenna.
I know.
Okay.
What's up?
It's going to be close. She got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Not terrible, not great. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Victoria Beckham says wanting to be really thin is out of fashion, and now women want to own their curves. What was her nickname in the Spice Girls?
She was Posh.
Yes. Number two, there's backlash because Kim Kardashian is one of the four women on the cover of what annual swimsuit magazine?
Well, if it's a swimsuit edition, it's got to be Sports Illustrated, right?
Yes.
I mean, does anybody else even do one?
Damn it.
Yes.
No. I mean, that's
number three,
kind of a big one.
That's all right. Moving on. Number three, Judge Apatow released a documentary he made about the life of comedian George Carlin. In what beloved children's TV series about a train did George Carlin replace Ringo Starr as a narrator?
And the only one I know is Thomas the Train.
Yes. Number four, you guys are tied at three. Valerie Bertinelli just announced her split from husband Tom Vitale. What sitcom launched her career as a child actress where she played Barbara Cooper?
Is that Facts of Life?
No, One Day at a Time.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm so upset.
Number five, Disney Plus says they won't take political or alcohol ads to keep the service family friendly. Also, no ads on any toddler shows. Speaking of toddler shows on Disney Plus, which one features Gecko, Catboy, and Owlette?
I don't know. TC?
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's PJ Masks.
Oh, kind of knew that.
Jenna.
I was thinking of
Jenna,
it.
Jenna, if you would have said Sports Illustrated, you would have won.
I know.
I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. I'm sorry. It's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Jenna and I can't beat Raven.
Hold on, Jenna.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $7,700 tomorrow.